Welcome into the Siouxland Sports Insider High School Football Podcast. We're talking week three here. I had an excellent week of football last week and want to thank our sponsors here. CNOS, great sponsor out in the dunes and locations also in Sioux City as well. Sioux City Ford Lincoln, Wendy Modlin and her team do a great job over there. Please tell them that the guys from Siouxland Sports Insider sent you over there. And our good friends from Fairway Grocery Store across Siouxland, thank you kindly for your sponsorship. And we wish people to continue to shop Fairway, find your grill items. Supposed to be a lot better weather weekend this weekend. So find something to throw on the grill and enjoy all the great football this weekend. We're tacking on NFL this weekend. So plenty of games out there to watch and hope everybody has a great weekend doing so. And Mitch, just real quick, a few quick notes here, kind of a review of last week and how things have played out for the first 2 weeks of the season. Couple things have caught my attention. One off the top is Lamar's Bulldogs 2-0 start. They've looked really good in doing so. And, you know, I hope that they continue their role here. I believe they're on the road this weekend, and I think that, you know, all signs point to them moving to 3-0, but that's why the games are played. So any team that struck you here the first couple of weeks, Mitch?
You know, besides Lamar's, I think, you know, there's a couple teams around the Siouxland area that I've really played, I wouldn't say even outside of their expectations, but just played extremely well over the last 2 weeks. You talk about a team like Bishop Heelan after losing their running back, starting off 2-0. They looked really impressive against AL. Not really sure what AL has to bring to the table, but they've looked really good. Mm-hmm. Going over into the state of South Sioux City, in Nebraska and South Sioux City, I can't talk enough about how well Tony Palmer's been running. Yeah. I think he's probably still running on the field right now.
Yeah, I think he's racked up 612 yards through two games.
Has about a 3 or 4 touchdown game every time he steps on the field. You know, the competition is going to start to get a little bit more increasing for them. And if he can keep that that toe going, he's going to be obviously have one heck of a season, but he's also going to have a heck of a season for the Cardinals, because they're going to just keep winning because you keep the ball out of the opponent's hand, and they've done a really good job of that so far. But and then I guess on a down note, you know, you have a team over in South Dakota, Elk Point Jefferson, suffered their first loss of the season. Yeah. They're now 2-1. Kind of an eye opener for them. You played against a really good ranked opponent. Now you go into the rest of your season. Nothing is hurt. I think they still have a lot of their schedule that is available for them. They played a really good Sioux Valley team. I believe it's ranked number 3. They're ranked number 2. So mm-hmm. It's a 2-3 matchup where it could have really gone either way. They lost 20-11, mm-hmm. Almost a one-score game. And they were still trying to get some guys healthy going into their bye week this week. So coming off of the bye week, look for the Huskies to be really, really improved. I see this as one of the only games they could lose. They still got to play Bridgewater Emory later in the season. That would be probably another ranked opponent. But, mm-hmm. you know, all in all, there's a lot of 2-0 teams. I mean, some teams we haven't even mentioned yet that are really doing really good. But a lot of them that we'll get to here will be in our 4 key matchups for the week.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to lead off our game previews with West Sioux at 1-1, heading over to Rock Rapids to take on Central Lion George Little Rock, who is on fire, 2-0, putting up some big numbers. And this seems like a buzzsaw for West Sioux here this week, Mitch.
And looking at it before, so West Sioux opens their season with an impressive win against Hartley Melvin Sanborn. Not really sure with what HMS is going to look like this year without their quarterback in Cooper Eibel. Mm-hmm. Then they go into a Boyden Hall team that in the last couple of years has been down, and the Boyden Hall just aired that ball out, and I mean it wasn't pretty for West Sioux's defense. So now you're going into a game where the team in Central Lion is very balanced. And it's kind of it's not a one man show because there are some other guys out there, but Reese does a lot of things really well. He's a really good passer, thrown for almost 300 yards through the air and 3 touchdowns. And he's also a really talented runner, 12 attempts, but 223 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. then you can't forget about Eben also right. in the backfield making things
Steady
happen.
Eddie in the backfield there.
It's just, I think it's going to be a bad pairing of back-to-back games for West Sioux to where, you know, Blake Wiggins is going to have a really, really good game passing and throwing. Petty's going to have to be really good out of the backfield as well. And he's the main receiver for Wiggins. They're going to have to be cooking on all cylinders because this game is going to be very high scoring and they don't want the game to get away. You got to take advantage of every single opportunity they get on offense. And then defensively, you know, you got to keep Reese in the pocket because, you know, he's very dangerous when he gets out of the pocket. Yeah. He's a great athlete. So what they have to do is just keep him inside the pocket and then, you know, key in on the receivers. Because they're going to attack you in multiple ways. You know, this team's very, very balanced. And we wondered with Luttmer leaving and Reese moving into the quarterback position, how would this team differ? It almost looks, I wouldn't say more powerful, but it looks just as powerful as it was last year. And, you know, you go off the game last year, 44-6 was the final score. Central Lyon ran away with it.
Mm-hmm.
West Sioux needs to be careful in the early couple quarters to keep this game close. Right. Otherwise, we could see another game going in the favor of Central Lyon. But it's an intriguing matchup because I don't want to say this early in the season it's a trap game, and you never want to say it's a trap game when West Sioux comes to town because West Sioux is such a good football town that mm-hmm. It almost wouldn't feel right to call them a trap game.
Yeah.
But sitting at 2-0, kind of breezing through your first two games against Emmitsburg and MOC, West Sioux's got an offense that if they click on all cylinders, they can put up points and stay with you. So, you know, Central Lyon, just don't take your foot off the gas and keep coasting through your schedule, and you'll be on the way to 3-0. But if you even once look back in your rearview mirror, yeah, West Sioux's gonna burn right past you. So, really intriguing game of a 2-0 and 1-1 team, and I think it can kind of go up to chance, but as long as each team does what they need to do offensively, it's going to be whatever team turns the other one over, because I think, well, you know, West Sioux, again, that Boyden Hall game, just couldn't keep consistently moving the ball, and they're going to have to do that against Central Lyon this week.
Yeah, I agree, Mitch. Should be an entertaining game there, and like you say, I mean, it's, if you're West Sioux, you don't want to get behind 13-14 nothing. Because then, you know, all bets are off then. So if West Sioux can come in, score first, and play a little bit of time of possession game.
Yeah, just control tempo.
Control tempo, yeah exactly. So look forward to that outcome. Second game we're checking in on is a team in Dakota Valley over there in South Dakota who I've been impressed with. New coaching staff. The kids have a great attitude. Been to practice. You've been to the most recent practice, and they're an up-tempo team. They play with great fire, great spirit, and they're really well coached. I really like their position coaches, and of course, head coach Will Height's doing a great job there, Mitch.
And had a chance to talk to Coach Will Height and also offensive coordinator Coach Sexton. Just kind of ran through, you know, the first two games. Chamberlain was a bit of a team where, you know, first series, they go down, they score a rushing touchdown, and then they don't let them score until literally the last play of the game. And win that game last week, 45-13. It's been the defense that's really stepped up for this team.
Mm-hmm.
They had five interceptions in the Chamberlain game. They flipped field position. Trey Peel on punting had a punt or two downed inside the 10-yard line. And then offensively, you know, junior quarterback Drew Luckin has came in and seamlessly taken over this offense. And during year two of the offensive scheme that they're trying to run, he's taken over really well. You have a backfield with Boonstra, and you have the good wideouts that Drew has to play with. And this team, it doesn't take very long for this team to get in on the same page, mm-hmm. and to really click offensively. I mean, you know, 21-0 in their first game, really heavily defensively played game against Vermilion. Boonstra had two rushing touchdowns, and then I believe Bo Jones had another one. And then, you know, in the game last week, it was done through the air. You know, Luckin was able to aim back and fire downfield. Had hit Bo Jones for two long touchdowns. They ran the ball extremely well. Drew took off and used his legs too. It's just a team that isn't one dimensional. We've had these Dakota Valley teams on our radar for a while now, and it's been a team that always beat you with the run. They were really solid running the ball. They had athletes, at quarterback and receiver position that could make plays, but it was a run-heavy team. Mm-hmm. This is a really, really balanced team that can beat you both sides of the ball, and they're solid both ways on the ball, passing or running. Mm-hmm. Their special teams, I believe, is improved. And then the biggest part of getting Coach Wilhite over is the defense. The attention to detail on the defensive side is better than I've seen for a lot of teams, and that's a thing that Dakota Valley has hung their hat on before with Coach Vandenhall previously, but it's almost gotten better with just the insight that he has. You watch the game, and Coach Wilhite's not even on the line of scrimmage. He's sitting behind the defense to kind of take everything in. He's
kind of sees it through a different lens on his end.
Yeah, what he's able to bring to the game is something that's different than most coaches can do, because with his his resume of what he had before he came to Dakota Valley, it's something that they're not necessarily flipping the culture there, but this team is winning games in the small margins that they lost last year. They lost mm-hmm. two games to Sioux Falls Christian, and I believe a game to Del Rapids, who was the eventual champion of Class 11A. But it's a team that's playing together, and I have yet to see a fault. The only thing is they're definitely getting their toughest test this week against the Sioux Falls Christian team, mm-hmm. who on schedule is 0-2.
Says 0-2, yeah.
But this team could easily be 2-0. They played against a ranked Canton Seahawks team, and then just recently lost 14-6 to a West Central team who was also ranked. This is a team that controls the tempo, runs mm-hmm. the ball a ton, mm-hmm. runs it almost for double the yards that they pass for. But a team that, on paper doesn't convert or hasn't been able to convert a lot on third downs. If you're Dakota Valley, being able to get them into longer yardage situations, whether it's be a penalty or stopping the run on first and second down, is going to be huge for you to flip field position and keep the ball on your side and make sure that they turn the ball over on the four downs that they have. And I think offensively they have the weapons to do so. It's just going to be a game where if they're not able to contain the run in the first early quarters, this game's going to be a lower scoring game, like a 21-14 game, mm-hmm. That you're going to want to have the last possession with the ball. But if they're able to come out and attack right away, which they've been able to do in their first couple games, and get an early lead, they'll be in the driver's seat. It's just going to be the tempo that they come out with. It's the third game of the season. They've came out with good tempo in both their first games, and it's just going to be continuing to do that, because that's what makes teams go from good to great.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting game. I'm really curious to see. I expect a low scoring game in that one. I agree with you, a 21-14 type game sounds about right there, but two talented teams, and we'll see who comes out on top there. Game three that we're checking in on is 2-0 Woodbury Central, traveling over to play 2-0 Logan Magnolia. And storylines here are pretty cool, Mitch. Obviously, we're well aware of Eric McGill, Drew Klunder, Zach Butler. Yep. Yeah, exactly. So, and, a pretty good supporting cast over there at Woodbury Central. And then Logan Magnolia, one name surfaces right away, and that's Grant Bricks, who, with Prep Red Zone, I've had a chance to cover his recruitment. He has upwards of 5 or 6 SEC offers, and I know Kansas State's hot on his trail too. So very talented offensive lineman, 6'6", 295, almost 300. He's a load, man, and they're going to run behind him tomorrow night.
And that's the key word there, is they're going to run behind him. This is a team that's extremely heavy on the run. Only completed and tried 6 passes on the year. One was in their first game for a touchdown of about 56 yards, I believe. And then in game two, one completion of four attempts for 5 yards. This is a team that does not pass.
They don't pass.
Student body right, student body left type of running. And for good reason, they've ran for 658 yards in two games and scored nine touchdowns through the ground and one touchdown through the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a team that it's going to be, if you look at it in style of play, it's going to be like when Woodbury Central faced off against Westwood last year with Jackson DeWald.
Yeah.
It's a team that they have a really good running back. They have three good running backs, but their main workhorse is Calvin Collins, a senior who's rushed 43 times, 243 yards and three touchdowns. They load the box and they have some weapons that can run it. It's going to be Woodbury Central owning up to the run. They gave up a lot of yards against Westwood last week, and they gave up a decent amount against Lawton Bronson in week one. Gonna be, you know, you're gonna have to put a ton of guys in the box because you're not gonna be afraid of Logan Magnolia passing. I mean, Caleb Cool can complete passes, but he's completed two passes of six attempts and also thrown two picks. So I think you kind of live with, if they're gonna beat you in the air, then let them beat you in the air. But to contain the run is gonna be huge for Woodbury Central. And then you go to the opposite side. Logan Magnolia has done a really good job of holding their opponents to not being able to air the ball out very well. And that's going to be something that Drew's going to have to do for Woodbury Central. He's done a really good job on the season so far.
Yeah.
24 of 45 attempts for 354 yards, three touchdowns. He's also taken a QB keeper in. But then you talk about Eric McGill on the outside.
Yeah, 11. I really like McGill. He's a stud athlete. He's really good and just a playmaker all over the field.
Yeah, he's got two touchdowns on 11 receptions for 215 yards. Zach Butler running the ball, and he's also had five catches receiving for 70 – or catches receiving for 74 yards and a touchdown, but five touchdowns on the ground. It's a very balanced offense that, you know, we knew was going to score points this year. It's just they've been giving up more points on defense. And this is kind of a game which we talked about in the Dakota Valley Sioux Falls Christian game. Logan Magnolia is going to hold the ball for as long as they can and keep Clunder. I mean, he's not on the sideline because he does play safety, but keep the offense for Woodbury Central on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And Woodbury Central, every single time you touch the ball offensively, they have to score. They want to run this score up, and they don't care if they give up 21 points due to three rushing touchdowns to Logan Magnolia, as long as they score four through the air, three through the air, and a touchdown himself on the ground. This game is going to be a game of clock management. Offensively, Woodbury Central, you cannot turn the ball over in this game. Ball security's got to be a must. And then just, can your guys up front force the line of scrimmage to go back into the backfield for these running backs to take away their cutback lanes and everything like that? They're going to have to be sure tacklers. It's just an intriguing game because it's two totally polar opposite styles of play.
Yeah. Contrasting styles.
On two teams that are 2-0 with good players all around, whether it's offensive line, secondary, quarterback, receiver. Both teams have good players on really all tiers of the ball, and it's going to be just a really good one. Last year, Woodbury Central won 41-6. You go back to 2021, Logan Magnolia won 7-0. I think it's more of a 7-0 game, a low-scoring game, than a 41-6 type of game.
Yeah.
But, you know, if Woodbury Central comes out and really gets Logan Magnolia in the mouth, this game could get to a high-scoring game, and that's the kind of game that Logan Magnolia doesn't want to play. But a very interesting one down there. It is on the road for Woodbury Central, going down the way to Logan Magnolia, and it's just going to be a very interesting game. It's just the disparity to me of 45 passing attempts to 6 passing attempts is almost asinine. It's just so weird to see. It's like Air Force playing Ohio State. It's just two completely different offensive-minded teams. But, you know, only one team's able to prevail, and it's going to be a very interesting final when that clock hits zero on Friday night.
Yeah, it will be. And that leads us to our game four this week. Heavyweight title match here in town in Sioux City. Has Sioux City East Black Raiders at 1-1, traveling across town to take on 2-0 Bishop Heelan. And Mitch, at first glance at looking at this, it's really amazing how many young players will be playing in this game.
On both sides of the ball, yeah. I think, you know, it's a great rivalry. First off,
it is
Bishop Heelan. Our Sioux City East hasn't given up the quote unquote trophy. since 2018. They've won four straight. The historical Magic, they've only played, this will be the 14th meeting, and it's 7-6 in favor of Helan. So if Sioux City East were to win this, it'd be five in a row, and it would be chop even for the series so far. And this game is going to be a lot closer than in years past. We went to both practices yesterday.
Yeah.
And kind of the feel is, hey, from both coaches and both players, this game is going to be a lot closer than the last years have been. It almost have like a 2020 feel, 48-41 type of game. Maybe not that many points, but definitely the close feel of that game. You got young guys on both sides of the ball. I think, you know, Bishop Helan probably has more seniors and bigger positions.
Yeah.
But with the way that Sioux City East has been able to play with their younger guys, Miles Wagner only being a junior, Cal Jepson being a sophomore quarterback, I thought has looked as impressive as you could at sophomore. We had kind of question marks on their quarterback, after losing a guy like Richie last year, and you're kind of just sitting there, you're like, okay, a young guy's going to have to take over. We didn't know if it was going to be Jepson, Thieler, or, you know, Claiborne. We had no idea who was going to take over. Jepson gets the starting role, has a little bit of hiccups in the game against Glenwood, still threw for a lot of yards. They started off slow against Sergeant Bluff. Second half, they really put it on, and he was able to find his targets. It's a good thing for Jepson to have those senior-leaded guys, tight end with Dolphin, receiver with Flemister.
Yeah.
You have Emerson. You have other guys that are older and more experienced that are able to, you know, be like, hey, if in a moment of need, if you need to get me the ball in the flat, I'm going to go make a play for you. Yeah. And it gives Jepson a lot of confidence in the pocket. And this is a team that in Sioux City East that started off slow.
Yeah.
The first 2 weeks, you cannot start off slow against Bishop Helan. Council Post Abraham Lincoln did that, and that game got away from really quick. I think Helan had one of their best offensive games that they could have of the year going into this East game. They're playing with a lot of confidence. Quarterback Quinn Olson has a plethora of receivers that he's able to throw to. This game, both running backs are very good. But I believe this game is going to be a more aired out game with the different receivers that each team has. We talked about it too at practice. It's also a game that's going to be played with field position, and turnovers is going to be the key to, I think, who wins or loses this game.
Yeah, that's a good analysis. And I'll say I've been fortunate to watch Cal Jepson grow up and play as he's matured. And this kid's just a good athlete. He's a gamer. He comes from a family of athletes. And, he's one of the most impressive sophomore quarterbacks I've seen so far in Northwest Iowa to start this season. Granted, it's early, but he's completing 54% of his passes, 652 yards, four touchdowns, and most importantly, one interception. So he's protected the ball for the Black Raiders, and his supporting cast should fit in well in the pass game this weekend. And, you know, Richard Stewart, wide receiver, A.J. Flemister, you had mentioned Dolphin. Those are good kids. And then just real quick over on East defense, sophomore Jacob Brayfogel, 11 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss and a pick. Senior linebacker J.J. Gosh leads the team, 14.5 tackles. You've got freshman safety Kason Claiborne, who's an excellent athlete. I mean, he's a freshman competing the varsity level. He's got 10.5 tackles, looks the part. And another rising sophomore defensive tackle, Colin Pittenger, 7.5 tackles for Sioux City East. Obviously, we're familiar with Pittenger's brother, Kale, starred at East last year. So that's kind of the look from the East side. We'll flip it over to Helan. Got senior quarterback Quinn Olson, who hasn't had to throw the ball a lot, but he's been extremely efficient when he's had to. 9-13, 69% completion rate, 2 touchdowns, and again, 0 INTs. And he's been pretty solid in the running game too. 9 carries, 138 yards, 2 scores. And senior running back Ricky Foto, who's kind of taken over. Obviously, they had the unfortunate injury with Isaiah Favors. He's kind of assumed that role. 15 carries, 140 yards, 3 touchdowns. And, Bishop Heelan, again, tight end senior, Cannon Bork, who we spoke with just yesterday. Excellent tight end, fits well in the passing game and has good chemistry with quarterback Olsen, Mitch.
And I was going to say, too, so you look at the rosters, it's a more – it's I mean, there are obviously some key seniors on East roster, but you look at the roster for Heelan, senior running back, senior quarterback, two senior running backs,
yeah.
All the receivers except for one seniors. Mm-hmm. This is a team that has yet to put on a Bishop Heelan uniform and beat Sioux City East. Mm-hmm. Like this rivalry means a little bit more than just a random game on a Friday night.
Yeah.
You know, this is the crosstown rivalry. I see polls on Twitter of, you know, guys from East going, hey, 0-4 the last four meetings, and guys on heel and said, hey, how many championships you got? This is a little bit more than just a normal game week three.
Yeah.
And these seniors are for Bishop Heelan are out, and they're excited for the matchup. They know that they're in a better spot offensively, defensively, and just schematically than they have been the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a really good matchup. You look at the matchup. So far, Cal Jepson, being a sophomore, hasn't been in at a huge rivalry game. You could throw the Sergeant Bluff East game as a rivalry if you want. It doesn't hold the same magnitude as this game.
Yeah.
Sophomore quarterback starting.
Yep.
Junior running back. Mm-hmm. Getting his first time as a starter for Sioux City East in the biggest game so far of the season. Facing his old team.
Yeah.
It's going to be for Sioux City East to win this game. Can your signal caller in Jepson play a game of making no mistakes? Is what he's been able to do so far.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Heelan side, I mean, you got to fluster some of these guys on the offensive side of the ball. You got to fluster the quarterback. You know, they like to air the ball out a lot more than the teams that they've seen so far. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're staying good and contained. I mean, and you got guys that, you know, Quinn's going to have to throw more passes than he's going to have to probably throw more than 13 in this game. But he's got guys on the outside, as you said, with Ricky, Sir Brandon Watts, Cannon Bork, Sabanos, Max Sabanos. Delaney.
Yeah.
You have guys that are able to make plays. Now, if you can control tempo and play the game that you want to play, it's going to be an absolute slugfest down there at Memorial Field. I think it's going to be one of the better games that we've seen in this matchup in a long time. I could be shocked, and one team could completely run away with it, because it's high school football and that happens. Yeah,
for me, that'll depend on turnovers. Whoever can protect this ball is going to win this game. And there are, I want to make mention of this, we don't talk about kickers a lot. There's two pretty good kickers taking part in this game.
Yeah,
East Sabanos has Bo Hall at kicker, and then Sabanos for Bishop Heelan. So, hey, say it gets late, I think both teams are comfortable with what they can run out there for a three-point win.
Three-point, and even in the punting matchup, Borrell for East is a good punter, and Sabanos for Heelan's a good punter. So even if you do go three and out, getting your opposition backed up inside their own 10-yard line. Field position
game. Yeah, exactly.
Be huge. It's going to be a game that's played all four quarters. This game's not going to be decided by halftime, or I'd be shocked if it was.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a game where you're going to have – it's going to be a great attended game. Obviously, Sioux City East and Heelan always is. But to where every single person's going to be kind of engaged into the game. Both sidelines are going to be into it. It's just going to be a really good atmosphere.
Yeah.
On Friday night, I know you're going to attend the matchup. I'll be calling the Dakota Valley game, but I'll be – definitely keying in on Twitter and watching out what happens.
I'll be letting you know what's going on.
Should be a good one. Make sure you get out to any game that's close to you on Friday night. Your local teams would love your support. And there's, you know, we talked about, there's just four games that we have on the docket, but there's other good games going on in the Siouxland area. Make sure you go out and support your local team. And then, you know, if you got enough fight or yelling left in you, support the Hawks and the Cyclones coming up for the matchup on Saturday. So, should be a good weekend of football, and I'll be excited to cover it and what's to come for week four.
Yeah, exactly. Nice job, Mitch. And we want to thank our sponsors again, CNOS, Sioux City Ford Lincoln, and Fairway Meat and Grocery. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you again next time.